James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, do you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is...
James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, do you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Good countdown. Six... 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you've read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Yes, indeed. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Guy James Show. Hope you're ready for a rip-roaring show today, and I hope you're ready to participate. I really hope you're ready to participate. This is an important day in the history of the United States. This is a day that I do believe will live in infamy. In the words of the great Franklin Roosevelt, this is a day of shame, of absolute shame in the United States of America. And I've got goosebumps. I'm so pissed off. I just don't know where to start today. I really don't. So forgive me if I'm a little bit on the edgy side today, but. I've never felt like this as an American. Never. Just a couple of side notes. I did tune in to hear what Mr. Pills Limbaugh would have to say today about all this. And, of course, I'm talking about the torture bill. And I heard the damnedest thing come out of Rush Limbaugh's mouth. I mean, you hear some crazy things coming from the guy. And he's the king of talk radio. Let me say that. I mean, he is. He's the king. Got more listeners probably than the rest put and added together. Maybe, I don't know. But he actually said, and it's nothing to do with the topic of our show today, but he was talking about this Terrell Owens, who is, I've kept track of it. I dropped out of pro football a long time ago. I was a lifelong Cleveland Browns fan, and when they left Cleveland, I said, to hell with it, I'll never watch another pro football game, and I never have. Never. Not another minute. Couldn't tell you who won the Super Bowl last year. I just don't care anymore. But I heard him talking about this Terrell Owens that I know is a big mouth receiver or whatever he is, defensive back, whatever, that went to the Dallas Cowboys, that's been all over the news the last couple of days, supposedly tried to commit suicide with an overdose of drugs, oxycontin, hydrocodone, and whatnot. I don't know what all. But Limbaugh was expressing his outrage at the press for their ignorance, he said. They just can't believe the ignorance of the press, he said. Their ignorance about OxyContin and hydrocodone. Can't believe the press's ignorance, but of course they're ignorant about everything, so why shouldn't they know it? Here's a guy who that was so freaking ignorant about drugs and so into it that he took so many that he lost his hearing, for God's sake. And he's telling the press, oh, I can't believe your ignorance of the drugs. I mean, here's a guy that's the king of ignorance of drugs, got hopelessly hooked on them, lost his hearing, and he's slamming the press today, slamming them. Oh, I can't believe the ignorance of these people. Well, anyway, I thought that was amazing. Hello to everybody. Hello to everybody over at the Head On Radio Network chat room. We're ready to hear from you today, 866-546-5254. If you are as steamed about all this as I am, let me know. I'm going to be talking about it quite a little bit today. Where's the outrage by the so-called Christian right on all this? Would Jesus vote for this bill? Would he? All the right-wing, hardcore evangelical Christians out there, would Jesus vote for this bill is what I'd like to know. Would he? I think you all know the answer to that. But Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson and James Kennedy and James Dobson and a whole pack of evangelical rats would vote for it. Could you possibly call yourself a Christian and back this bill? Could you possibly? No way. No way in the world could you say you're a Christian and back this bill. You show me in the Bible where it's okay to torture people. Show me. Anywhere. Hope somebody on the Head On Radio Network chat room will let me know that everything's fine and we're getting out okay here today. Another one of these amateurish things where I'm looking at... everything's fine, but I don't see any action on the chat room, so I'm kind of wondering. Let me know, okay? Before I go any further with the show, I guess I do know it's okay. Martin writes, Jesus has been removed from their Bibles, guy. Man, Martin, are you ever right? Are you ever right? Evidently, Jesus has been removed from there. And by the way, speaking of Jesus... Oh, my God. How many of you saw that thing about the Jesus camp last night? That scared the living hell out of me. And speak of scaring the hell out of somebody, how about those poor kids that were subjected to that? Oh. And I saw that woman, I saw a clip of her trying to defend herself on TV this morning with that. Oh, please. Oh, please. And these people are talking about Islamofascists and radicals by Islam. Oh, please. That Jesus camp thing is one of the most awful things that I've ever seen on TV. One of the most awful things that I've ever seen. I was, I'm not easily shocked anymore. I'm really not. There's very little that'll shock me, but that shocked me. But it fits right in. It fits right in with what's going on today. Let's take a look at the plain old truth here for today. Let's sift through all the bullshit and get to the heart of the matter today. Here is a fact. The United States of America, and all of you on the phone, I hope you'll just hang on. I know you will. The United States of America, under orders of one George W. Bush, is jailing, torturing, and murdering who knows how many people who haven't got a chance in hell of getting themselves any legal representation or even a trial. And of all of it, the hardest part to swallow is that there's no way to stop Bush from doing this. If Bush ruled, if the Congress ruled that he couldn't do it, he wouldn't even give him the time of day. And if the Supreme Court told him it was illegal, he'd tell him, hey, I'm the decider. You're just a bunch of clowns dressed in black robes. You're supposed to go along with anything I do because I am the supreme ruler of the United States of America. The fact is, that Bush is totally out of control. I know many in Washington, and I do know many in Washington who are saying this behind closed doors, that he's running a totally illegal presidency, but no one has the balls to stand up to him. With his tiny brain, he decides what he wants to do, sends it down to Congress so the boys and girls down there will think that he gives a damn about what they think, and then they'll rubber stamp any damn thing he wants to do, just like little puppies lick their master's hand to get their approval. And just so they'll know, if they didn't pass the bill, he'll continue to do it anyway. He just didn't want anyone thinking he was the dictator that he actually is. It's frightening to think that we've got a rogue government led by a petty dictator who hasn't got the brain of an ostrich. But since Congress is going to pass this legislation, it gives the appearance of a government that's actually legally functioning instead of the broken, illegal government we really have. Think of the ramifications of the world finding out that we, the United States of America, the bastion of freedom and democracy, we're no longer a democracy, but rather we're being governed by a phony tin-horn Texas cowboy who's no smarter than a goat. It just fascinates and amazes me that many people are railing against Hugo Chavez and Kim Jong-il and Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. The yell at those guys are being some sort of loons when I'm as sure can be that compared to Bush, all three of those guys are genius material. The answer to all this? Take the House and impeach this clown. But will his fellow clowns have the cojones to do it? Not a chance. The Democrats have shown almost no stomach for impeaching Bush. It wouldn't look good. It would start a partisan war. Blah, 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 Democratic blah. But what if? What if the Democrats actually did grow a spine and try and impeach this smug little dictator? What if? Would he have the grace to step aside and accept his fate like Nixon did and spare the country a long, protracted, ugly fight to the political death? I think you know the answer to that. Any man who refuses to fire Donald Rumsfeld couldn't possibly have the interest of this nation at the forefront of his thoughts. Bush resigned? Not a chance in hell. Not a chance. I think you all realize that Bush and his thug accomplices have been wanting to dismantle our system of government since before he placed his hand on the Bible on that awful day of January the 20th, 2001, a day that truly will live in infamy. Make no mistake about it. Bush, Cheney, and the rest of these human rats have nothing but contempt for the other branches of government, and it's also quite evident they've got utter contempt for the people of this nation as well. You only have to look at their bullying tactics to see that they really don't give a damn about anything or anybody except for themselves and the power that they can grab. They're openly talking about atomic warfare against Iran. They're passing a bill legalizing torture. They're chucking the Geneva Convention. The Geneva Convention, for Christ's sake, right out the window. And if the Supreme Court rules against them and says this is unconstitutional, my bet is Bush wins. If he has to call out the army to haul the Supremes out of the building, he'll do it. Well, on second thought, he owns most of them already, so he won't have to face that possibility unless, of course, Scalia and Thomas and Alito and Roberts should develop some sort of a sense of loyalty to the nation and the Constitution instead of getting on their knees before Junior Bush. The hard truth is that any member of Congress who votes for this bill is not worthy of the public trust. Democrat or Republican, any member of Congress that votes yes on this bill has brought disgrace upon themselves and spit upon the Constitution of the United States. Anybody voting for this bill as a Democrat could only be doing it for one reason, to get elected in an area where it's a close election and the candidate thinks the conservatives who might vote for him or her might walk away from him because of their vote on this. And as a side note, to those of you who think we should still back Democrats who vote for this bill because we need all the Democrats we can get in order to have the majority and take control of the committees, somebody said one time that you can't occupy the high ground without fighting for it. And I'll tell you this, I'd rather lose than have members of the party I've so firmly believed in all my adult life vote to condone torture. To the Democratic political cowards that voted with Bush on this, I say enough is enough. You have not stood up and fought for even a single damn issue since Bush took office. Oh, you've threatened. Oh, we might filibuster. And didn't. You threatened to filibuster this and that, but you always end up just kissing Bush's ass every single time, Harry Reid. Every single time, Nancy Pelosi, you laid down for him on the Schiavo case, the Supreme Court nominations, and other issues as well. You keep saying, well, we've got to pick our fights. What is our fight? When is there going to be a fight? When? You have not been true to the people or the party. And all of that is bad enough, but to abandon the Geneva Convention? Throw habeas corpus out the window? Can you not see where we're headed? You're supposed to be smart men and women. But for God's sake, if you don't see the path we're on, the utter inevitability of fascism becoming the way of life in our country, then you're not intelligent enough or patriotic enough to represent your constituency. I cannot, I will not, in good conscience, ever back anybody who votes yes on this bill. I don't care who it is. They're off my list forever. And as a Democrat, they don't exist in my book anymore. If Democrats who vote for this bill have even a hint of conscience, they'll vote no. And Democrats, if you want to prove to the American people that you stand for something, if for a change you don't want to be looked upon as a bunch of political cowards, then stand up and fight this bill. But what are the odds? You know what the odds are. They're almost impossible. Well, we had to go along with it because Karl Rove, you know, he'll say that we're naughty people. He'll say that we're soft on terrorism. Yeah, he will. That Karl Rove, he'll do that to us. And we don't want to go through that again. You remember that back during the war? It made us all feel bad. No guts. Again, no guts. No guts. Sooner or later. And when is it going to be? Somebody has to stand for principle. Somebody. Let's go to the phone. Sorry to make everybody wait so long. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Yeah, Guy, this is Sarge. How are you?
Hi, Sarge. Well, I've had better days.
I agree with you. This bill just has me totally upset. What it does is it opens some doors that we don't want open. When you start deteriorating the standards that you hold your prisoners, you are opening so many possibilities of danger to your troops. You're even endangering the national security, because it's like I found with my good friend's dad in Germany, who was an SS officer. When you torture people, when they expect torture, they come prepared not to give you information. But when you show them that you're going to abide by what is right and what is defined by the Geneva Conventions, they soon break down and tell you what you want to know, because they see the fallacies in their belief system. But now when you start torturing people and you do the same thing that they say you're going to do, then why bother? You're not going to get information from these people that's going to be worth a flip.
I agree.
Now, what the story is, and I've told it before, I don't know if I've told it to you, but Mr. Yoakum was an SS officer, and he was captured by the American forces. And he was well trained to endure torture to us, you know, to as far a level as possible. And he was totally expecting to be tortured, but instead he was sent to California. He was held in a prison camp there. He was accorded the Geneva Conventions. He was treated humanely. When he saw what was going on with Hitler, when he studied the situation, quickly he turned around and said, "Let me tell you what I know." And he spilled his guts and probably saved thousands of lives in doing so. When he got out, he went back to Germany. He had children, and he told his sons, "If you ever get a chance, go to America, because they are a fair and humane nation." Now, if we vote for this bill, we have just destroyed such as that.
Exactly right. And you know, Sarge, it's interesting that you brought that up. My grandfather on my mother's side, my mother's father, was a guard at a central Ohio, it was an ordnance plant for many years where they held weapons after the war. But they used it as a prison for Nazi officers during the Second World War. And they brought them there. Yeah, they had fence in, and they were in a prison, but it was a nice prison, as prisons can be. And yeah. And they treated them humanely. And many of those people ended up living in the United States of America after the war was over. They thought so highly of the way they were treated, and they treated better here than they were in their home country.
Yeah, and you know, the funny thing, and I say funny in a ridiculous sense, is that Mr. Yoakum told me so much about what happened in Germany under Hitler and how Hitler took over power and stuff, and we are going down those same roads. And I it breaks my heart, because I have suffered so much for this country. There's not a day I don't have pain from my military service. And to see us degenerate into this ungodly life, I just can't stand it. It makes me want to cry. And this bill is just totally against everything we stand for. And everybody needs to get on their phone, call their senators, and we got to stop this guy. This is just not what I serve. This is not the America that I gave so much for. And God damn it, I want it to stop.
Yep. And I heard,
want to go, guy. I'm too emotional.
Well, Sarge, thanks for your call.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
I heard somebody ask the question, how many people would be turning over in their graves if they knew about this today? I can tell you, almost every soldier that ever died for this country would be turning over in their graves over it. No. Let's go back to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy.
Hi. Hello?
Yeah. I really wanted to... My message is more or less to anybody who's not a citizen of this country. Pack up your families and leave while you can before Bush gets hold of you, because if he gets hold of you, you will regret it for the rest of your life. And I got to tell you, if I had the means, I would leave also.
It's not the country that we've known. It's not.
No, this is not the country I was raised to love, and I would renounce my citizenship. And if Bush wants to make something of that, fine, let him. That sound you hear is John Kennedy turning over in his grave.
Yes, indeed.
I'm just sick.
I am too. I am as
That's
well.
That's all I wanted to say, Ken.
Well, thank you, and thank you for a good call. Well, hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Guy, it's Dave from Northern California.
Hi, Dave.
I have something here that is a clear hot flash that I've been sharing it with everybody I can. If it clicks, it makes big sense, and that is that you know, and I know, and your callers know, and your chat knows, that torturing people does not produce reliable, dependable evidence. Truth. It doesn't do it.
No.
That if you're torturing me, I'll tell you what you want to know. So let's take the picture that that's what's really happening. That the cons, our White House crew, they want to torture people with this. Tell us that Iran has nuclear weapons tell us that Iran is a major threat to the world, and we will let up on the acetylene torch. We will stop drilling holes in your fingernails. And at that point, they're going to get an affidavit from that person. And then they're going to show up once again before Congress, before the United Nations, and say, here is the evidence. They won't mention how they got it. And they'll later be saying, the UN had the same evidence we had. The Congress had the same evidence we had. That's what the missing piece of this is. They're not looking for truth. They're looking to get lies that they can use to justify what they want to do.
Right on. Absolutely right on. That's the nail on the head right there. Another way to justify another war of aggression.
And if they only could have thought that out in time, because it's not an extreme leap. This is a simple logic. This is the way these characters operate. They defraud the people. They defraud the United Nations. That's their style.
That's not a leap at all. That's connecting the dots. That's all it is.
Just connecting the dots. Well, I appreciate that, and I'm trying to share it with as many people as I can. I've talked to two of your colleagues already, and I think we all need to be looking at that in that logic, because I think if that were known all over Washington right now, would they still be saying, let's support it?
Absolutely.
You think they would?
Absolutely.
God.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. We're not dealing with a bunch of normal people, Dave. We're not dealing with people that can be reasoned with. Congress, you know, what do we have a Congress for right now? Who needs them? What do they do besides ink up their rubber stamps every day? Why do they need their big staffs? What's going on in their office suites? Why do they even have offices in their district back home? All they're there for is to say yes, sir, to Mr. Bush. That's all.
And to put their hand out to the big corporations.
Yep.
So yeah, I, too, can be bought. But not all of them.
Not all of them. Dave,
there's a few good ones. There's too many that are willing to sell us down the river.
Not enough good ones. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
Good to hear from you. Very reasonable call. Let's see. Where do we go here? Someday I'll figure this system out. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hello, Guy.
Yes.
Hi, this is John. I'm here in Fort Myers.
Hi, John.
I came across some information the other day that I found just fascinating. Maybe you've heard about this before, maybe some of your listeners have. I have a niece who, a few years ago, married a fellow from Pakistan. He's an American citizen, but he has a lot of family back there. And recently, there was a wedding in his family, and so a couple of members of my extended family went over there and exchanged a lot of names and emails and information with the folks over there, so they could keep in contact with them. And so my niece and my sister, who also made this trip, and a few other people have noticed that every time they send or receive an email to one of the family members over in Pakistan, they don't get email for about 2 or 3 days. And then all of a sudden it will just dump a bunch of whatever their online services will dump a bunch of email, like maybe 30, 40 pieces of email, personal and junk mail, all at once. And they've been discussing this lately. All of them are experiencing it. And it always follows when they exchange an email with someone in Pakistan.
I don't think there's any doubt about it. I don't think there's any question about it that they're being monitored. Did you hear our interview last week with the Pakistani man from Great Britain?
Yes, I did.
Oh. I'll tell you, I'd be scared to death if I was a Pakistani to head over there right now. I'd be scared to do it. I would.
She had a lot of great. Well, another impression that she shared with me. I'm sorry to jump back to this, but I've been fascinated by this. She said, I can't speak for the other. My sister said, I can't speak for the other Muslim countries because I haven't been there. But she said, one thing that happens on a regular basis is that someone will announce that there's going to be a demonstration. And you have all these young unemployed men out on the streets of the big cities in Pakistan. And for a few dollars, they'll hold up signs and chant and do all sorts of things. And as soon as the TV cameras are done, they throw the signs down and walk away.
Hmm.
And so there's, they'll demonstrate for anything. And so the imams will come out and spread a little money around and and all of a sudden you've got a ready-made demonstration. So anyway, I just wanted to share that with you, and but especially the thing about the emails, and maybe some of your listeners have had similar experiences.
Oh, man, that's, you know, that's just, I would have expected it. I absolutely would have expected it.
Thank you. I mean, these are family members. These are the most cynical, down-to-earth people you'd ever want to meet. In fact, my sister started out this by saying, I'm not a conspiracy nut, but, and then she relayed that whole story.
No, she's got a perfectly legit concern there. There's no question about it.
Yes,
hey, thanks,
well,
thanks for your call.
Thank you. Good to talk with you.
So. Oh, man. That kind of stuff going on. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, this is Juanita.
Hi, Juanita.
I woke up this morning. There's a new show on Air America called The Young Turks.
Uh-huh.
And, there's a couple of guys on there, and one of them was outraged over this. I mean, he was so hurt. He used to be a Republican, and he's not, you know, of course, he's not now.
Yeah.
And the other one was trying to tell him he was being unreasonable about it, about the Democrats that voted for it. And I totally agree with the one that was outraged. I really do. And I think what you said, I mean, what you said earlier, I mean, you just said it all. I mean, I couldn't put it in better words and all. And you know the article that I sent you about the Moonies?
Yes.
Please, if you would, get into that, because this is involved in all of that. There's a lot of connections.
Yeah, well,
all the way around.
All in good time.
I understand, but I
am one busy guy.
All kind of.
Oh yeah.
Connected.
I realize that.
And
I, you know,
things that most people don't know about, I think the public needs to be informed.
I have a question for you, Juanita.
Okay.
If everybody in this country knew everything that's going on behind the curtains in this country, what do you think? How many people would leave? There's some scary things going on. Very scary.
Well, a lot of people would say, well, conspiracy theory, you know.
Yeah.
Or, oh, no, they're too nice or whatever.
That's right.
A lot of people will not ever, like you said.
Never.
You know, the old saying, you can fool some of the people all the time. Some of them you can fool all the time.
Yeah, Abe Lincoln came up with that.
And it's true.
Yeah.
I have a friend who hasn't spoken to me since last year, and she's Republican, and she thinks Bush is great. And I just guess I got the best of her. I don't know how, but...
How do you, when you're one of those people that's, how do you talk to your friends after you've, you know, in her case, you've put them down for not being a Bushbot and said you're not patriotic, you're not a good American, mm-hmm. because you, how do you face them again, you know?
Well, you know, I think that they're not good Americans.
Well, that's...
They want everybody to think the same way. And that's not what our country's supposed to be.
No.
We're all supposed to be entitled to our opinion.
I was sitting the other night thinking...
And not all think the same way.
How are we going to put a stop to this? How are we going to put a stop to this division? When is there going to be a great leader come down the pike and maybe mm-hmm. put a stop to all this? But then I got to thinking, then I woke up and said, well, I don't think it's going to happen. I think we're headed for terrible trouble in this country.
Yeah, I think it's something that God's got to handle,
yeah.
I'll tell you. And I think maybe that we may have to suffer a lot for other people's eyes to open, although a lot of them won't.
I think we're nowhere near the bottom yet, and I hate to say
that. I don't either.
Thanks so much for your call.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And let's go over to line one here. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy. This is Martin in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Hi, Martin.
Well, you know, I've
Grand Rapids, seen... Michigan, home of Amway.
Yeah.
And the Amway Grand Hotel and the Gerald Ford Museum and all that. Yes, okay.
Okay.
I'm done with the travel log.
Okay. Are you done flaming me now, Guy?
Huh?
I'm not responsible for any of it.
Now,
I just wanted to say, I was watching on C-SPAN 2 today when Teddy Kennedy was addressing the Senate, and he broke down in tears like Sarge did earlier, calling you, and I've never witnessed this in my lifetime. I'm 45 years old, and that legislation is bringing people to tears.
I didn't get to see that.
They had to adjourn the Senate for a few minutes and take a break because Kennedy broke down.
You know, there's a guy. I've met Ted Kennedy and had one-on-one conversations with him before, and warts and all, and hey, he's no different than anybody else. He's had his troubles, but there's a great American. There's a guy. Yeah. There's a guy that, oh yes, he's the consummate politician. He is, but the country always came first. The country always came first.
The shame of it is, you know, all these black heart right wingers are going to do nothing but make fun of him.
Sure,
for
it. Let him. Let him.
Love of this country.
Let him. I have great respect. I think, you know, when Bobby was killed, I loved Bobby Kennedy. I'm a Kennedy guy, and I loved Bobby Kennedy. I think, and maybe out of the three, he might have been the ultimate. I think he might have been the greatest one. But Ted has been a magnificent United States Senator, and there's no way to argue with that. No way to argue with it.
Right.
I hope I can see the video of that later. Maybe I don't want to see it. I don't know.
Also, with this legislation, I would be quaking in my boots if I were an illegal alien right now.
Oh, yeah. It can be used in so many ways.
They can detain somebody for whatever reason. It's kidnapping. It's legalized kidnapping of anybody in the world. That's really what it comes down to.
Yeah. I know. It's a sad situation. It really is. We'll probably be talking about it all day today. There's so much to say. There's not enough time to get it all in. That's for certain. Well, I do thank you for your call in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Even though you are up there, are you a Wolverine or a Spartan?
I'm a U of M alumni.
Oh well, that's right.
I told you
yesterday. Sorry about your luck.
We had a small rift between us.
Yeah, small. small. Maybe it's going to be like old times, and maybe at the end of the season, it's going to be number one and number two, face off against number two at the last game of the regular season. You suppose?
That would be awesome.
Back in your Woody and Bo days.
Would be awesome.
Yeah,
I'd love that.
Yeah, we would. Hey, thanks for your call.
Okay, Guy. Thank you.
Go Bucks. Oh, yeah. A little football there. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hello?
Hello, you're on.
Hi. Yeah, I'm William. I called in yesterday from
William.
Los Angeles.
Yes.
You know, it seems to me like it's common sense with these senators voting for this disaster. It can only be one of two things. They're just afraid, or they have some dream that there's going to be elections from now on, and they're going to have a point, you know, a part in it. You know,
sure.
I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me at all. They haven't done anything since Bush has taken office. They haven't tried to slow down one bill he's tried to pass or change. And it's gotten to the point where what is the military all of a sudden going to wake up and take over, and then we're going to take Ted Kennedy and put him in to run this country.
Well, we need somebody that can run this country right now. I'm having a hard time. Who would it be that would do it?
It's the only one I can think of.
He wouldn't do it. The only one
who stood up there and fought against, you know, it's been years that I heard him talking about minimum wage, and nobody would even hear it.
Yeah. When nobody else would talk about it. Nobody.
No. And they wouldn't even put it on the table for discussion.
No.
That's all he asked for.
He's the only
one I can think of that has fought for anything.
I was in one of the meeting rooms in the Hart Senate office building not long ago, and Teddy was there along with Carl Levin, and there was a small group of us, four or five, and Teddy had a sore back. And he's, you know, being a guy with a lot of seniority in the Senate, why, you know, he gets away with a few things other people don't. First of all, he's got a fabulous office. The longer you've been there, I think the better office you get. And he brings his dog with him. He's got a big black lab that he brings to the Hart Senate office building with him. It's just a beautiful dog. And he was suffering with a bad back, but still, he was there to talk to the people. He wanted to come out and talk to the people. You could tell he was suffering from his bad back. And he sat there as long as he needed to, as long as he was wanted to, and conversed with everybody and answered their questions. And I just think so much of him. I really do.
I have two old. all the Kennedys. I mean, yeah. You know, all along.
Yeah.
And if things wouldn't have been the way they were years and years ago with Bobby and JFK, I mean, we wouldn't be in this position right now.
No, that's how I started my political life, was in the John Kennedy campaign, and I'm forever grateful that that experience was started me off in politics.
Now, I mean, I just don't understand any of this. The people in this country must be so ignorant and blinded. They're not even paying attention to what's going on here. And it affects everybody. I don't care if you're Democratic or Republican or what.
Yeah, it does. I doubt a lot of people understand what is happening today. I really don't think. I had a long talk this morning with a constitutional lawyer that explained all this to me this morning, and he was going to be on it. He was going to be on the show today, but at the last minute, he had a family problem and had to cancel out. And after talking to him for about a half hour, I'm frightened. I'm frightened for what this might do to our country. I was frightened already that we even were discussing whether or not to do something like this, but. You know, he started explaining the ins and outs and little nuances and the power that this actually gives to this unitary president. My God, it is frightening.
Well, you know, it all has to do with education in this country. It has for a long time. You know, I went to high school. One of the requirements to graduate was to learn the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of Illinois. That was one of the requirements. If you couldn't pass those tests and read the Constitution of the United States and understand it, you didn't get out of high school.
Yeah.
I mean, this was in the 60s. I mean, I don't think anybody has an idea what's even in there and what their rights are and what this country is supposed to be.
No, let's just everybody's everybody. Let's just go along and get along. And as long as I'm getting my paycheck every week, and as long as I got my car and my house and my dog and a TV, why, everything's all right. And we'll trust George Bush to do the right thing.
It's what it seems like.
You know, if there's ever a guy that's been in that office that you could not, you know, I mean, you know, you stop and think about it. Does anyone want to trust George W. Bush to decide what torture is?
Oh, I mean, can't imagine.
Yeah.
Why they would?
No,
especially when he was talking. What was it, a week ago? He said, "What does that mean?" This description of,
yeah.
I forget the exact terminology, but I think you know what I'm talking about.
Sure.
He said, what does that mean exactly? Well, what do you think it means? I mean, it's obvious. Torture is torture. How else do you define it? You don't do it.
That's right. That's,
you know,
right.
Simple.
And giving up habeas, the right of habeas corpus somebody that's accused of a crime. Hell, we would have given Hitler a trial if we'd have gotten a hold of him. We would have.
Well, this is all part of taking... Like, George can wash his slate clean. Now, he can't be touched if this goes through.
I know. And that's what it was. You betcha that's the underlying thing of the whole... That's the underlying premise of this whole thing, is a get-out-of-jail-free card. You bet it is.
Sole motivation for this.
Yep.
And people allow this. They should see just that one point alone.
Yep.
But maybe that's the stalemate. Maybe that's the reason why people sit back and say, well, you know, George has been an okay guy. Why would we want him prosecuted? He hasn't done anything wrong. Maybe that's what the majority of the people in this country think. I don't know.
Yeah.
Certainly I don't think that way, and obviously you don't think that way, and many other people don't.
Well, too many people do.
Yes, unfortunately.
Hey, thanks for your call. Good to hear from you.
Thank you. Okay, bye.
Well, I think we're going to take a little break. My goodness, we've got about 42 minutes in and haven't taken a break yet, so we'll be back in just a minute or two. Don't go away.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. surprise.
Head on radionetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at headonradionetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Well, hope you'll forgive us for being in a dour, sour mood today. I am. But I can't help it. And I don't know, a lot of you can't help it as well. We're undergoing an assault on the Constitution of the United States today by a bunch of thugs. And it is probably the worst assault on our Constitution that we've yet experienced in the young history of this nation. I think it is. I think it's an affront to decent people everywhere. Of course, we've got a lot of people running this government right now who aren't decent, who have no idea what decency is, and yet they promise to bring dignity and honor and all that crap back to the White House. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've got a couple people online here. Let's go to the phones. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Good afternoon, Guy. Bill from Toledo.
Hi, Bill.
Hey, listen, I got the playbook here for you.
Okay.
This is already a done deal, and the sellout is going to be, they're going to be able to say to the Democrats, instead of filibustering like they should be doing, they're trying to get a sunshine law put in that, let's go back and look at this in 5 years.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, yeah. Is that what they call it? Is it sunshine?
Sunshine is sort of like what they did with the Patriot Act
right.
They passed.
Right.
So the out for the Democrats on not doing a filibuster, which we can't give up hope on that filibuster yet, because I believe that is our only hope.
Of all the things that you can think of over the years that we've tried that with, how many things have been repealed that you know of, Bill?
Zip, none.
I can think of so many things in my lifetime. You live in Ohio. I'm in Toledo, right?
That's correct.
You're pretty close to the Ohio Turnpike, right?
Absolutely.
I remember when they built the Ohio Turnpike. You're a little
I
young.
Already know what you're going to say.
Uh-huh. And when they built the Ohio Turnpike, and most of the turnpikes in the United States, we were going to pay a toll, and when the things were paid for, why, fine. They were going to be free highways. Are any of
off
them free?
Off comes the toll.
Yeah.
Off comes the toll.
Sure. What'd they do? When the Ohio Turnpike, when the bond issue was paid for and the road was paid for, what'd they do? They upped the toll.
Absolutely. And now they're talking about selling the turnpike.
Yeah, I'm going to sell it. Yeah, I don't know who they're going to sell it to.
private contractor.
Oh, God. I don't know.
That
I don't
should
know.
Work out for the best.
So as far as repealing, going back and taking another look and repealing things.
It's not going to happen.
No.
It's not going to happen. Guy, I believe the Democrats, if they shirk this responsibility, then it's going to be Katie bar the door and best batten down the hatches, or every lefty head for the hills. And last but not the least, abandon hope, all ye who live within these once great United States. Give your souls to God, for what the left once believed in can be no more. And the far right will inherit what was once a proud nation, turned into, yes, abandon ye all hope.
Sober it's, words. Very sober words.
It's they're not going to put up a tax bill. That's one thing. You steal my money out of my pocket. But what was it said? You can take away this. You can take away that. But you can't take away your feelings and what you believe in. They can take away possessions.
Right.
Possessions are one thing. But when you take away a proud, how you could once say, I'm proud to be an American. When they take that away, what's left there?
That's right. That's exactly right. It's so shameful. It is so shameful. I'm so let down today.
Look at your board today. That's things been lit up like a Christmas tree.
Oh, yeah.
Since you started the show.
Yeah.
When was the last time you had that?
Well, people that care, people that know, that took the time to find out what's in this bill and know, they're concerned, as everybody should be. But you've got neighbors, I've got neighbors that don't give a damn one way or another. So, oh, that bill to torture those Arabs, yeah, let's let them have it. I mean, you know, no idea that their son or daughter might be at a protest next week with an anti-Bush T-shirt and could get picked up and charged as a terrorist and put away with no right to a trial or any legal protection whatsoever.
They said no citizens. Citizens don't have to worry. We're talking about people who aren't citizens. People might be coming in this country illegally. Maybe permanent aliens.
Well, yeah,
I'm married to a permanent alien.
Well, the hard part is, Bill,
a permanent resident.
It's not exactly true that it can't be citizens. It most certainly can. Let's suppose I talked to a constitutional lawyer this morning. He gave me some examples. Let's suppose you give money to a Pakistani charity, for example. And, you know, it's been advertising here in this country, and you give money to this Pakistani charity, and a little later you find out they're hooked up with the Taliban. You know what? Your name's on the list, and you can be picked up. You can be picked up and interrogated and all that, just on that.
It's easier to get on one of those lists than a guy than to get off of it.
Evidently, yes.
Ask Ted Kennedy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you had that lady call in who I really took to heart what she said. She said, "Hey, I'm ready. That's it." What did they say about the people in Nazi Germany? Hey, how come those people didn't get paid? They seen what was happening. Yeah. Why didn't they take and pick up and leave? You tell me, they've seen what kind of people they had run their government and what it was turning into. Why didn't they take and pick up and leave? You know why? Because they believed in that stuff.
That's right.
So I don't have no feelings for that. That's what they wanted. That's what they got. Oh, here we are, what, 50 years later?
Yeah.
60 years later?
Yeah.
And people are going to say, well, why didn't those Americans? They seen what was happening.
Yeah.
Is it going to take all of a sudden we got nuclear bombs and this going off, and now who's the rogue nation now?
Yeah, exactly right.
I'll tell
right.
you, guy, what I said there, I know everybody, I don't want to get off real quick here. I have, these are the strongest feelings I've had in politics ever.
Me
and
too.
If this goes through, then it is. It's Katie bar the door because you didn't say nothing when they come for him, and you didn't say nothing, but then when they come for you.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely right.
I don't know what all the words are in it, but I know what the saying is, what it means, and you didn't say nothing about that. So listen, guy, I know you got a board full of callers.
Bill.
Great show, and I can't wait to listen to the rest of it.
Good to hear from you, Bill. Thank you.
Thank you, guy.
You know, let's talk a little bit about this morning. I did talk to a constitutional lawyer that was scheduled to be on today, but had to back out because of a family deal this afternoon. But and as I mentioned to you, it did frighten me to talk to him. It did, because he's an expert on this, and he started talking about this ominously broad definition of enemy combatants. And Bush himself has the power to decide who is an enemy combatant or not. And that would mean, in the broad definition of enemy combatant, that almost anyone who actively opposes the President of the United States or the government of the United States can be locked up indefinitely. And this bill makes a mockery of the rule of law. It absolutely does. I mean, the current version of the Military Commission redefines an unlawful combatant. They call them UECs. It defines that so broadly that it could include anyone who organizes a march against a war in Iraq. The bill defines an unlawful enemy combatant as a person who engages in hostilities, now listen to this, or who has purposefully and materially supported hostilities against the United States, or anyone who has, quote, been determined to be an unlawful enemy combatant by a combatant status review tribunal or another competent tribunal established under the authority of the President or the Secretary of Defense of the United States. The definition makes no reference to citizenship and therefore could be read to include any number of individuals, including, think about this, attorneys and other habeas corpus counsel for federal public defenders and military defense counsel for detainees at Guantanamo, any person who's given $5 to a charity working with orphans in Afghanistan that turns out to be associated in some fashion with someone who might be a member of the Taliban. And the bill also currently includes provisions so sweeping that they strip U.S. courts of their jurisdiction over habeas petitions by any non-citizen detained by the government anywhere. And because there's no geographic limitation in the bill's language, it would allow the president, imagine this, to detain any non-citizen without their ever having the chance to challenge their detention in court. It says, and I quote, "No court shall have the jurisdiction to hear or consider an application for a writ of habeas corpus filed by or on behalf of an alien detained by the United States who has been determined by the United States to have been properly detained as an enemy combatant or is awaiting such determination," end quote. Here's an example of people who could be detained indefinitely with no access to a court. Imagine this. A foreign tourist wearing an anti-Bush t-shirt at the Statue of Liberty. A protester at an immigration rally who's lived in the U.S. since she was 6 months old and is a lawful permanent resident. This new version of the legislation grants this president, or any president from now on, frightening power to silence his critics. You know, habeas corpus is like voting, one of the fundamental rights of democracy. And the president's effort to exercise the privilege of kings has got to be turned back before this so-called war on terror turns on our own citizens. And it can easily, very easily, turn on our own citizens. And I have to tell you, maybe I should save this for after the news at the top of the hour. In fact, I think I will. The Democrats, they didn't even have the guts to mount a filibuster. Afraid that Karl Rove would do another hatchet job on them, saying they were soft on terror. Bullshit. Just plain bullshit. No guts. Would no Democrat in a leadership position have the balls to mount a filibuster to show America that they care about the Constitution? They're worried what the public might think about them. They're worried about a backlash. The public would back them on this. America does not want to be known to the rest of the world that will go along with torture. I am convinced of that. I am absolutely convinced of that. And yet, the Democratic legislators, 34 of them, and let's not forget Ben Nelson and Mary Landrieu yesterday voting against Carl Levin's bill that would have watered this down considerably. Of course, Mary Landrieu and Ben Nelson from Nebraska, I don't consider either of them a Democrat in any sense of the word. Man, I don't know. But after I did talk to the constitutional lawyer this morning, I'm just amazed. Just amazed. He started pointing things out. Did you know this? Did you know that? No, I didn't. Well, and the thing is, here's the part that bothers me. The Republicans know they are wrong on this. They know they are. They know it. But they won't say anything because they don't want to make their moron of a president look even more crazy and imbecilic than he is. Back him no matter what, because we're the conservatives and we're in power and we gotta back our guy. Got to back her guy. I swear to God, if Franklin Roosevelt were the president right now pushing this, I would say no. Absolutely no. Boy, I don't know. Well, I don't know where this hour is going to. Certainly going fast, that's for certain. I'm hoping you all stick around for the second hour. We have got a lot to talk about, a lot. And when we open up the second hour, we're gonna talk about a couple of Democrats that have, just absolutely gotten me befuddled. That's all I can say about it. We will be talking to it. We've talked to their offices today, and we'll talk about them afterwards at the top of the hour. I do want you to remember you're listening to the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network. We've got another hour left. We've got the news coming up here in just a minute or two. Going to let you know about what Jack McCafferty had to say about all this yesterday. And we'll play that for you in a little while. So don't go anywhere. We got another hour of good Head On Radio Network programming to come up right after this.
This is the Quality News Network. By a vote of 51 to 48, the U.S. Senate has rejected an amendment by Republican Senator Arlen Specter to allow terrorism suspects the right to challenge their imprisonment in court. That clears the way for the expected approval by the Senate of the president's anti-terrorism bill, which was passed by the House last night. Congress adjourns tomorrow. In Iraq, more violence. As many as 60 tortured bodies are found dumped throughout Baghdad today, and 8 bombings, most of them targeted at police, have killed at least 23 and wounded a dozen. U.S. authorities report that there have been more suicide bombings this week in Iraq than during any other week since the war began. They also say that sectarian murders and executions are the leading cause of civilian deaths in Baghdad. More details from an Iraqi poll conducted by the University of Maryland. 75% say they believe the U.S. intends to maintain a permanent presence in Iraq. 80% are of the opinion that the U.S. presence in their country provokes more violence than it prevents. The poll conducted this month also finds negative views among Iraqis about Osama bin Laden, as well as Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. The U.S. military says that even though Pakistan has agreed to help curb violence along its border with Afghanistan, militant attacks in eastern Afghanistan have tripled. Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert says he'd like to meet with Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas soon, but Abbas says that unless talks between them are about more than this summer's kidnapping by Hamas of an Israeli soldier, he's not interested. The EU's foreign policy chief and Iran's top nuclear negotiators say their talks in Berlin today were positive, but that they still have no agreement regarding Iran's uranium enrichment program. They've agreed to talk again next week, possibly by phone rather than in person. U.S. military plans to pull out of Iceland this week, ending a 55-year presence in that country. Iceland has no military of its own. Convicted lobbyist Jack Abramoff is asking for another 90-day delay in starting his 6-year prison sentence. A federal judge expected to make his ruling today. Republicans will choose their next presidential candidate in Minneapolis-St. Paul, where the party has decided to hold its 2008 convention. Democrats were also considering the Twin Cities, but now will choose between Denver and New York City. Firefighters in Southern California still battling the largest wildfire in state history. The Day Fire has now burned 250 square miles of wilderness and cost California $53 million. And the mother of the last Russian Tsar is being reburied in St. Petersburg, where funeral services were held today at St. Isaac's Cathedral. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business are coming up next.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of hostility. You married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than the months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. Collaborativedivorce.tv.
Billionaire Richard Branson today unveiled the interior of the spacecraft he's building, which he hopes to use to offer space travel to the public as soon as 2009. The Virgin Galactic spaceship is being built in California's Mojave Desert. NASA's director says it's far too soon to talk about joint space adventures between the U.S. and China, and they'll have to wait until there's more trust and openness between the two countries. Michael Griffin's comments follow a five-day visit to China by top NASA officials. Commerce Department reports that economic growth during the second quarter of this year was 2.6%. That's 0.3% lower than previously thought, and evidence that the economy is slowing. Hewlett-Packard's general counsel, who resigned this morning, has refused to testify before a House subcommittee hearing about boardroom leaks. Instead, she invoked her Fifth Amendment rights, along with nine others involved in HP's internal investigation. However, the committee is hearing testimony from both CEO Mark Hurd and former board chair Patricia Dunn. Microsoft says it will sell its new Zune music player for $250 when it goes on sale November 14th. That's just a dollar higher than Apple's iPod. Light sweet crude oil is trading this hour up 44 cents a barrel at $63.40. On Wall Street, the markets are all higher just a bit. The Dow is up 8 points at 11,697. NASDAQ is up just one at 2,264. And the S&P 500 is also up just 1 point at 1,337. There's always more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Diana Walter. The time is now 5 minutes past the hour.
This is the Guy James Show. The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
And hello, and welcome back to the Guy James Show, the second hour of the show today, and what has been a rather lively show. Lots of participation by the audience, and I love that. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. Glad to have all of you along with us this afternoon. I want to be fair, and we're always fair on this program. Damn it, I said we're fair, and so we're fair. I'm judging that, but we are fair on this program. And I am not partisan to the point where I just give a tip of the hat to whatever any Democrat does and say, hey, that's fine. I've never been more disappointed. Never been more disappointed after a vote than I was yesterday's vote in the House. If you would have asked me yesterday morning, if any of you would have sent me an email and said, Guy, give me a list of two Democrats who, no matter what, would never vote for this torture bill. Well, number one, of course, would be Dennis Kucinich. And Dennis Kucinich, of course, did not vote for this bill. The second one on my list, without question, no question whatsoever, would have been Sherrod Brown. Not a doubt in the world. Sherrod, have you gone freaking nuts? I'm ashamed of him. I worked in Sherrod Brown's campaign when I lived in Ohio, for Christ's sake. I believe in Sherrod Brown. I thought we shared the same principles and values. We had him on the show not long ago. And he votes for this torture bill. Now listen, I understand he's in a close race in Ohio. I understand that. And I understand the politics of the situation, that he doesn't want to piss off the moderates there that might want to say, oh, yes, let's torture people. I understand that. But, and don't give me this crap about how we have to gain control before we can get anything done. Principles. Sooner or later, you have to take a stand on principles, and we've just seen where the principles of 34 Democrats in the House are. They're in the garbage. And Mary Landrieu and Ben Nelson voted against Carl Evans' bill. Who are these people, and why the hell do they have a D behind their name? Screw them. And Harold Ford. Again, I understand the politics of it. I do. I understand the politics of it. But have you no principles? I don't want anybody in office that has no principles, that would rather get elected than stand for what's right. I don't want anybody in office. I cannot tell you how disappointed I am in Sherrod Brown. There's no words for me to tell you how disappointed I am in Sherrod Brown. I can't believe it. I just can't believe that Sherrod Brown voted that way. I don't think I'll ever get over it. And I will tell you this, and I've said it before, and I'll say it again. And you know me. Many of you know me. You know I have a stubborn side. And I don't know if it's stubborn or it's a principled side, but by God, I said a long time ago that I will not, under any circumstances, back any Democrat for the presidency who voted for the war. That includes a lot of them, who voted for the war and hasn't apologized for it and said it's wrong. It's okay if you voted for it. I understand that. I don't think I would have been fooled. But a lot of them were, and a lot of us weren't fooled, were we? We knew what the story was. If you listened to the program before this war started, you knew damn well what the story was. We had Hans Blix. We had Scott Ritter. We knew what the story was. But I'll give them a pass. I don't like to, but I'll give them a pass if they voted to go along with Bush on this war. But I will not back any Democrat who voted yes for this war and has not said that it was wrong and apologized. And that includes some pretty important people, as you know. John Kerry has apologized and said he was wrong for voting for it. But the point I was getting to, I will not ever back any candidate, any Democratic candidate that voted for this torture bill. I will not. I hereby withdraw my endorsement of Sherrod Brown and Harold Ford, both of them. I've got principles. I'll stick with them, come hell or high water. I do not care. I'm a person that will cut my nose off to spite my face if I think I'm right. And I know I'm right on this. You've got to have principles. First and foremost, you've got to have principles. And this just against everything I believe in. Well, let's go to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Guy, this is Jim from California. How are you doing today?
Hi, Jim.
Yeah, I can certainly relate to what you're talking about, and I sometimes wonder if we have a resistance party in this country at all. You know, I mean, there's some wonderful Democrats out there, and I'll certainly be a Democrat till I die, but... And they're certainly the lesser of the two evils, but they sure are weak-kneed and do some strange things sometimes.
Yeah, would it have killed them? Would it have killed them to say, let's mount a filibuster here?
Mm-hmm. I think they should have been filibustering just about everything that's been happening for the last 5 years.
Yeah.
If I had my way, they would be doing that, you know, and... You know, I know Bill Clinton did a pretty admirable job of defending himself against some of the right-wing onslaughts of the last weekend and the week before, but when you think back, look at all the things that the Bush family said about Clinton and how close Clinton has been with Poppy Bush, and I sometimes wonder if behind the scenes in the cocktail parties, they're not all laughing at us at being fools for believing the game they're playing. You know, I get very skeptical sometimes when I see such weak-kneed Democrats.
You know, you've got a point. I was involved in a a trial one time. I was on a jury. I was a foreman of a jury. And I think maybe lots of us have seen this take place. But for 2 weeks, watch these two lawyers just beat the crap out of each other in the courtroom. I mean, just arch enemies. And when we came to a verdict and left the courthouse, we went down to a place, by the way, called the Court Cafe, which was right beside the courthouse, went in and sat down, several of the jurors and some friends, and sat down, and here comes these two lawyers in, arm in arm, shoulder to shoulder, sit down, start having drinks, just good old pals. And you know, I think you might have something there with the politicians. I really do.
Yeah, I've heard some people say we've just got one goat with two horns instead of two different parties, you know. But I think there's some. That's a bit of an exaggeration. I certainly prefer the Democrats over the Republicans, but sometimes I wonder about them. I tell you, it's amazing. Incidentally, on a personal note, I'm not that far from you right now. I said I'm from California, which is true. That's where my home is. But I'm right now visiting my mother over in the central part of the state in Sebring, not too far.
Oh, from where yeah, you are, and that's not that far away. I could be in Sebring in about an hour.
Yeah, I could. Yeah, vice versa. Yeah, yeah. Certainly is a red part of the state, though. From my experience, I've tried to talk to some of the people around town here, and if I start trying to bring up any liberal ideas, I get it's a good way to get rid of those people.
Oh yes, you know, a lot of people have the wrong idea about Central Florida. Now Sebring is Central Florida, and it's up in an area where there's lots of really nice lakes. Uh-huh. And it's a pretty area of Florida. A lot of people think Central Florida is just nothing but swampland, but up around Sebring, doggone nice, really is.
It is beautiful, but too conservative for me as far as politics goes.
Well, buddy, if you want to see conservative politics, you just drive about an hour southwest of there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
my.
The only liberal part of Florida would be down around the lower southeast.
Miami.
Maybe up around Orlando and Tampa, but... I was talking to Mark Levine in your absence, and he was saying he views Florida as being a purple state, and that might be true if you take the whole...
I think it is.
Go ahead.
I agree. I think it is a purple state.
Yeah, uh-huh. But anyway, I'm enjoying my visit in your state, and it certainly is warm and sunny over here in Sebring today. I presume it's the same over on the Gulf Coast where you are, and I've enjoyed your program since day one, and we've shared a little bit of email contact. You may or may not remember. You probably get a lot of email, but I've certainly enjoyed your program since it's been on, and will continue to support as I'm able. And maybe if we squawk loud enough, some of the Democrats will wake up.
Well, I thank you for listening to the program. Most of all, I do, and keep listening. We hope to make it bigger and better than ever.
Yeah, that's my hope too, Guy, and you're doing a great job. And you have a great day, and I'll go on and let other callers get in, okay?
Thanks a lot. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
You know, I ask a Republican, I was going to say friend, but really just acquaintance. I have no Republican friends. I don't. I mean that. I do not have any Republican friends. Because if you have friends, you got to be able to trust your friends, don't you? Hell, I wouldn't trust anybody that would vote for George W. Bush. How could I? Maybe if they'd get down and cry a bucket of tears and apologize, maybe then. On a side note, I see that 3/4 of the Iraqis want us out of Iraq. kind of flies in the face of what the Bush administration has been saying. 3/4 of them want us out. 65% of them want us out right now. Right now, pack your stuff, be gone this afternoon. And did you see that this past month we've had more suicide bombings in Iraq at any time since the beginning of the war? And it's going so well over there, you know, this war of choice. And by God, I'm going to do everything I can to see the history books when they put this war in there. There is no question this should not be called the Iraq War. It should absolutely not be called the Iraq War. This should be called the Bush-Iraq War. Absolutely. Wouldn't have happened if it weren't for him. Would not have happened if it were not for him. Lots of people said, you know, I hear my Republican acquaintances talk about, well, you know, if John Kerry had won that presidency or Al Gore, we probably wouldn't have gone to a war in Iraq. You're right, you are. Absolutely right you are. But, you know, we're fighting him over there, so we don't have to fight him here, and it's working out so well. Sherrod Brown and Harold Ford, please. 866-546-5254. You know, a friend of mine got a website, and it's a good one, too. And I know some of you probably read it. It's called FireDogLake.com. And he had an article on there today. And, well, let me play this for you first. Let me play this for you. How many of you got to see Jack McCafferty last night? I love this. Let's take a listen to Jack McCafferty.
Ordinarily, we don't do a question 2 days in a row, but this is important enough to be an exception. The House just passed President Bush's bill to redefine the treatment of detainees, and the Senate's expected to do the same thing tomorrow. Buried deep inside this legislation is a provision that will pardon President Bush and all the members of his administration of any possible crimes connected with the torture and mistreatment of detainees, dated all the way back to September 11, 2001. At least President Nixon had Gerald Ford to do his dirty work. President Bush is trying to pardon himself. Here's the deal. Under the War Crimes Act, violations of the Geneva Conventions are felonies, in some cases punishable by death. When the Supreme Court ruled the Geneva Conventions applied to Al-Qaeda and Taliban detainees, President Bush and his boys were suddenly in big trouble. They've been working these prisoners over pretty good. In an effort to avoid possible prosecution, they're trying to cram this bill through Congress before the end of the week when Congress adjourns. The reason there's such a rush to do this, if the Democrats get control of the House in November, well, this kind of legislation probably wouldn't pass. You want to know the real disgrace of what these people are about to do or in the process of doing? Senator Bill Frist and Congressman Dennis Hastert and their Republican stooges apparently don't see anything wrong with this. I really do wonder sometimes what we're becoming in this country.
I do wonder as well. Jack said it really well, I think. And you know, over at Fire Dog Lake, they were talking about this, and from that site, he said, and why are we going through this exercise in EDC? Not just for the cover your ass for George Bush on torture, but because he and Carl and all their malignant cronies are worried about headlines like this. Dispute on intelligence report disrupts Republican game plan. A new hope for Democrats bid for Senate. A forfeited battleground district. Heir of victory. Democrats are hiring. Surprising Senate shift seen in final stretch. You think Carl can't count votes? You think they would have dragged George Bush off his high horse and onto the Capitol Hill today for a meeting with all the Senate Republicans if they didn't need a win that they could hold over the heads of the GOP going into the fall elections? The president sure as hell doesn't head up to the Hill unless they're worried about not passing a bill. He wouldn't be bothered to do so unless Carl thought it was crucial. And yet there he is this morning. You think we'd be going through this tap dance if he weren't trying to screw with your vote and your commitment to work on getting more votes for our side? Carl Rove could give a rat's ass about the Constitution or any of the values we all hold dear. He only cares about winning at all cost. And I'm here to tell you that his filthy tricks are not going to work, not if I can help it. Screw Carl Rove. You want to be angry? Then channel that anger into throwing this vote right back in his face. The GOP is going to live to regret the day that they spit on the Constitution. And that starts right here. Right now, they aren't acting on principle. They are acting in a craven grab for power. Well, here's a language they will understand. We're going to take your power away in November. Be afraid. Be very afraid. You think we won't work as hard as we need to? That we'll let up because you pull some rotten squeezeball forced maneuver? Think again. You think principle can't win out against greed? Think again. You think you'll enjoy it when the Democrats can exercise substantial oversight and subpoena power, Carl? I know I sure as hell will. And I'll especially enjoy the confirmation process for the federal judiciary, just for your information. We're pushing you off our side of the field, across the 50-yard line, and headed toward the goal. And we're about to score. You think we can't do this? Think again, because we have damn well had enough. share and enjoy. Well, that's from our friends over at Fire Dog Lake and Jack McCafferty. And I share those sentiments. We've had enough. Not going to stand for any more of this. And evidently, a few of our Democratic congressmen have had enough of it as well. And I was encouraged by at least some of the comments that came. Representative Ike Skelton, Democrat from Missouri, and I quote, "If you want to be tough on terrorists, pass a statute that will meet the scrutiny of the Supreme Court of our country." Representative Steve Israel, Democrat from New York, "If I'm asking young men and women to die for what we stand for, I want to stand for something," end quote. Representative Gerald Nadler from New York, "We rebelled against King George for far less infringements," end quote. Democratic leader Pelosi, "This bill does violence to the Constitution." Democratic whip Steny Hoyer from Maryland, "This legislation at bottom is really more about who we are as a people than it is about who those who seek to harm us." And Representative Louise Slaughter, "This bill sends a clear message to both our friends and our enemies about what kind of people we are. It shows them whether or not we're really willing to practice what we preach about freedom, democracy, and human dignity." And Representative Barbara Lee from California, "America has always been not only a nation, it has been an idea. And when we sacrifice that idea, it is a setback in this war of ideas." At least some of our Democrats had some good things to say, but I am so terribly disappointed. Terribly disappointed. You know, our government just wasn't set up this way. It wasn't set up to be like this. These military tribunals that the president and the Congress are going to approve today will constitute the most radical, dangerous, and disgraceful transformation in the U.S. criminal justice system since our nation began. I think there's no doubt about that. And to prevent abuse of power, the U.S. Constitution divided the power, and this was the whole idea of it, they divided the power between three branches of government. The legislative branch would have the power to enact the laws, and the executive branch would enforce the laws, and the judicial branch would interpret the laws. That's how it was set up, and it's how it's worked for so long. And, you know, to limit the abuse of power in criminal prosecutions, and to ensure that innocent people weren't convicted and punished, and it's what sets us apart from other legal systems in the world, our American ancestors deliberately set up a series of legal obstacles and roadblocks within the federal criminal justice system, many of which stretch back centuries, way back into English jurisprudence. And if a person were being held without charges, he could file a petition for a writ of habeas corpus. That's been back hell since the Magna Carta back in 1215. And that would force the person that holding him to appear before an independent federal judge to show cause why the person shouldn't be released. And if the executive branch had reason to believe that someone had committed a crime, it couldn't prosecute without first getting an indictment from a grand jury. It was all set up so deliberately in such good fashion for all the right reasons. And any person accused of a crime was guaranteed these rights. And as a right to counsel, the right to confront witnesses against him, the right to a speedy and public trial, the right to due process of law, the right to a jury trial, the right to reasonable bail, and the right to be free of cruel and unusual punishment. This was all so carefully laid out over the years, and for such good reason. You know, given all those obstacles, it shouldn't surprise anyone that there's many And we all know this. There are many guilty people who go free instead of being convicted and punished. So why did our ancestors create such a system? They knew that government officials throughout history, either with or without good intentions, had used their criminal justice powers to punish innocent people. Our ancestors believed, as the old adage goes, that it was better that 10 guilty people go free than one innocent person be found guilty and punished for a crime he didn't commit. Now, that makes perfect sense to me. Obviously, the Bush people would spit on that. They don't believe that. You know, and another long-established legal principle in the United States is equal application of the law. And that means here in this country that criminal law would be applied equally to everybody, rich or poor. Well, it isn't always true because you can buy yourself a better lawyer if you're rich. But at least you can get a lawyer. At least you can get a public defender. And I know the public defender system, warts and all. Sometimes you get a good one. Sometimes you get them that just don't give a damn. But these military tribunals that Congress is now set to set up at the behest of Junior Bush really, in effect, toss those legal principles into the ash can of this so-called war on terrorism. No habeas corpus, grand jury indictments, due process, speedy and public trials, trials by jury, and protection from unreasonable searches and seizures. Coerced testimony. Cruel and unusual punishment. These military tribunals are going to make up one of the most fundamental altering of our constitutional since the founding of this country. And I hope people, if they don't realize it now, I hope they'll come to realize it. And it's being done. The amazing part of it is it's really being done without even the semblance of a constitutional amendment. You would think such a huge action would be in the form of a constitutional amendment. And those of you on the phone, hang on, I'll be with you in just a minute. I got to finish this thought. At my age, you better finish your thoughts or you forget what they are about 30 seconds from now. But, you know, no matter how often federal officials couch their war on terrorism as a real war, they cannot avoid the discomforting truth. Terrorism is a federal criminal offense right now. That's a law that was duly enacted by Congress. It's on the federal statute books right now. It is a criminal offense for which the feds have indicted and prosecuted a whole lot of people and continue to do so. And since terrorism is a federal criminal offense, it shouldn't surprise anyone that people who have been accused of terrorism have been guaranteed all the procedural rights in the Bill of Rights during the criminal prosecution. But they're gonna change all this. They're gonna change all this. But and both the President and the Congress justify all this by repeating their favorite 9/11 saying, and you've heard it a million times, the 9/11 attacks were an act of war, and we're now at war against the terrorists. Well, guess what? Such being the case, what were the feds doing then, prosecuting Zacharias Moussaoui? Why? He was accused of conspiring to commit the 9/11 terrorist attack in a federal district court. If terrorism is no longer a criminal offense and is instead an act of war, then what was the grand jury indictment against Moussaoui all about? Didn't it specify the federal criminal laws that Moussaoui had violated in conspiring to commit the 9/11 attacks? Was it just an honest mistake to have indicted and convicted Moussaoui of that federal criminal offense? Because of this new one, should his guilty plea and life sentence now be vacated, and should he now be treated as a prisoner of war in the war on terrorism? Or how about Ramzi Youssef, who was indicted and convicted in a federal district court in New York for the terrorist bombing of the World Trade Center in 1993? Should his conviction and life sentence in a federal prison now be vacated? And should he now be accorded prisoner of war status? If terrorism is an act of war, Then why is accused terrorist Jose Padilla now defending himself in federal district court against an indictment that accuses him of terrorism? The truth is that the war on terrorism rhetoric has been a sham from the beginning. It's been a sham to enable federal officials to do what they've been trying to do for decades, especially in another sham war. The war on drugs is emasculate the Bill of Rights to enable federal officials to run roughshod over the people, and not just foreigners. The military tribunal legislation is just the culmination of decades of federal officials mocking and ridiculing the constitutional technicalities whose only real purpose, U.S. officials have long claimed, is to let guilty people go free. That's in fact why President Bush and the Pentagon set up their torture camp in Cuba rather than the United States, to avoid the constraints of the U.S. Constitution and the Bill of Rights, which they obviously don't give a damn for. After all, what other explanation could there be for their incessant attempts to circumvent Americans' federal court system? They set up their torture camps in Cuba and elsewhere overseas, including secret Soviet-era compounds in Eastern Europe. How proud we are all of that. Because they just didn't want any U.S. federal judges interfering with their operation of justice in their war on terrorism. They didn't want to accord people accused of terrorism due process of law, right to counsel, speedy and public trials and trials by jury. They wanted to use their own warped rules of evidence to convict people who they already knew were guilty, which included using completely unreliable testimony. We heard from Mozambique last week about that, secured by torture. They wanted to be free to inflict all the cruel and unusual punishments, including torture and sex abuse, on the terrorists. Now, I know the conservatives get upset when we bring up Adolf Hitler in the context of the post-9/11 U.S. government assaults on civil liberties. Have you ever noticed they never get upset when U.S. officials compare foreign rulers to Hitler? But as I pointed out, when the U.S. government is doing something that Hitler did, while that doesn't automatically make it bad, it at least should raise some red flags. And if you take a good look at history on how Hitler became a dictator, take a good look at how that happened. Well, it's a bad day for America, and I hope people will really look at this law very, very close. Very, very close. And realize what we may be in for. Let's go to the phones. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, Guy. Rick in Panama City. How are you?
Hi, Rick.
Yeah, I listen, but this is my first time calling you. I just felt compelled to because I've been, I'm a C-SPAN junkie. And forgive me, I've got along with COPD, so it's hard to breathe. But the thing is that you're so right, and people, I used to hear a saying that the minute you interject Hitler or Nazis, you've lost the argument. But, I mean, it is the parallels. I mean, 9/11 was their Reichstag. And you think about how Bush got into office by appointment, just like Hitler. Hitler was never elected. And then you think about how far they'll go and how far out they play this chessboard to get to where we are today with this torture bill, the elimination of habeas, and this is going to affect regular Americans like you and I. I mean, let's just say it's like a melon that's just been whacked in half, and it's all laying there with the seeds rolling out of it and the guts of it. And there won't be much more that's needed to completely destroy the rest of the melon, per se, because all it's going to take is that one more attack, whether it's a grand scale or not, I don't even think is necessary anymore. I mean, they can take out a shopping mall, or they could have one suicide bomber on a corner. It'll be enough for this weird class of Americans that call themselves Christians and Republicans, all of which they, if you take a look at what it takes to be either one of those things, particularly conservative or Christian,
they can't possibly be either. So it's more like the people that signed up right away for the Führer. They want this. There's some attraction to this powerful daddy's home, you better watch your mouth. They want to follow that authoritarian type thing. And it's not even a leadership thing. It's more like a discipleship thing, in my opinion. And it just blows me away how we're sitting here. And I'm thinking to myself, because I did a lot of studies on the whole Holocaust era and all of that, and I'm thinking to myself, I'll bet you that I'm feeling, and many like me, perhaps even yourself, I'm feeling like the Jews must have felt, and other undesirables felt, when they kept saying, no, they wouldn't go that far. No, they wouldn't go that far. And as I watch this torture bill get passed, I'm getting the feeling that all is lost and I don't know what to do. I don't honestly think they're going to let the election be free of tampering. I don't think there's enough people out there, frankly, to go into the streets, even if there was tampering with it. And even if you did that, they made a big point out of the fact that they renewed the rebellion and insurrection clause in some defense bill a month or two ago. They renewed that, and then they
very
said,
quietly.
Yeah, very quiet. I sent it to everybody I could think of, and I couldn't get any action. I couldn't get no legs on it at all.
Well, it doesn't apply to me, you know. Why should I be worried?
I mean, nobody was interested in this, and this was a big deal to me because, like I said, these guys play this chessboard out so far. I mean, they're actually some brilliance in their evil.
Oh, and you're so right. You know, you started off, and I'm glad that you mentioned it. You're so right. This was a terrorist strike on the Reichstag. You started off talking about, and that's what let Hitler secure that. The Enabling Act.
That's right.
What it was called. That suspended civil liberties in Germany, and a German judge convicted one of the defendants in it, and he acquitted some of the others, and Hitler was able to just push everything aside. Then the civil liberties were gone, and it just all of a sudden became a creeping disease in Germany.
That's right.
And the people just didn't. It's that boiling frog thing.
Well, yeah, but it just seemed like, well, you know, it's a matter of being ripe for it. The population has to be ripe for it.
Oh, yeah.
And with the Versailles Agreement and the humiliation of World War One and all of these other things, they were broke. And Hitler was able to just take that anger and take, you know, I remember once I worked for this company that was a terrible company, and I was a manager, an area manager. And so they always have these sales competitions. And I remember after getting off one particular conference call that I went in and I had 64 salesmen and women, and I said to them, let's do it just because we hate their guts. Let's beat them. Let's beat them.
Yeah.
Because they suck, the company sucks, and they don't care about us. Let's just humiliate them, beat them. And we did. We beat the area vice president. But see, the population has to be ripe for it. And for you know, all the people that were able to be confused by 9/11 and Saddam Hussein, you know, from Fox News and all the others they kept putting it out there, and we got to spread it around. I think it's
Look, you're so right. Look at the ripening process going on here. We're close to being broke.
Yeah.
Well, there is anger, plenty of it, against these dark-skinned foreigners. By the way,
oh sure.
It's all playing out just beautifully. Beautifully.
I recommend anybody. You can get probably one of the best documentaries I've ever seen on the rise of Hitler, and they take it from cradle to grave. It's called Mein Kampf, and you can get it at Netflix. I mean, they stock it, and boy, I'll tell you, you will really see the parallels. And this is done by, hello?
Yes.
Hello?
I'm here.
Oops.
I'm with you.
Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, okay. You dropped away for a second.
Oh, it must be your computer. No, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
You never dropped away.
Okay. But at any rate, where was I? I can't even remember now. It's just
Well, about how the ripening process and how we're going through it right now and all that, and, yeah. And we are we're the analogy, and you said it earlier that when and you know the old saying, the first one to bring up Hitler loses. Well, what else are we supposed to compare this to?
Well, that's like just another one of the rules they put out.
Yeah.
And all what I was going to say was, I mean, I didn't want to blame just Fox for this convoluted 9/11 Saddam Hussein weirdness. I mean, Bush supposedly spent something like, I think it's in the area of $1.5 or better billion dollars on fake news.
Yeah. Oh, they bought new.
All felonies. But yet he just said, well, I don't care about the law. I'm not going to obey it. So it's been this, you know, he has treaded upon the Constitution and the nation's laws right along and has given a pass. Now, here we come into this November situation of the vote, and we're all working hard to get the vote out, to get people registered and all this kind of stuff. But I really wonder, I mean, what will the October surprise be? I've heard a couple of things. I've heard a thought-out corpse from bin Laden. I've heard a small biological attack in a small Midwestern town. I saw that on the net somewhere. I mean, everybody's trying to figure out what Karl Rove's big deal is going to be. But he was bragging somewhere just last week that he's got something really good.
Yeah. Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, and I don't want to take up all your time, but I just wanted to point these things out. But particularly the very scary feeling that I feel like I must be, feeling and thinking the same thing them Jews did when all the people went along with it, and that's when I knew, there's trouble.
Yeah, don't worry. It really couldn't happen to us. I know people are talking and saying it, but don't you worry about that. It won't happen to us, you know.
Yeah, I mean, and then just if what's that old saying, that World War II poem of our whatever it was, the first they came for this one, that one, mm-hmm. this one, and then when they came for me, there's no one to stand up.
That's right.
And boy, oh boy, are we just about there.
Yep.
And, you know, I mean, everybody, I know this would sound melodramatic, but I think it's time to take it seriously. It'll be guys like us that's got to worry. We're camp material if they go that far, and I don't think it's a stretch.
It's not a stretch at all. I don't think I haven't considered it. Believe me, you bet they'll come for us. They will. I absolutely.
Thank you so much, Guy. Enjoy your show every day.
Thanks for your call.
All right. Bye now.
Just taking a look at some email here. Pat in Dallas says, enjoy your show. And I just called Senator Cornyn. Unfortunately, I live in Texas, the land of bullshit, he says. And told the staffer that I was absolutely sickened by the senator's support of the torture bill. I went on to tell him that my family fought in every war since, and including the Revolutionary War on down to the current Iraq War, which is true. Then I told him that my family does not support the torture bill. We support the Geneva Conventions and want to see them honored in full. That was it. Thank you for your note, Pat. That's lots of letters like that being sent out today, I'm sure, all around the country. And I hope people don't give up on it. But, you know, I'm so disgusted with the Democrats today. I really am. You know, there's this fear that permeates the Democratic Party, and everyone, you can smell it. You don't win by being mealy mouthed and afraid that Hannity and Rush are going to distort what you say. This is really my point. They're going to distort what they say, and you know, kind of cudgel them with it, no matter what they say or do. Whatever the Democrats say or do, the right-wing noise machine is going to be out there. Therefore, stop trying to tailor what you say and what you do based on the fear that it's going to be distorted and used against you. You know, a lot of these Democrats that voted, they're damn well afraid that the Republicans are going to come out and say, well, they're soft on terror. That you bet your ass that's what they're afraid of. And, you know, 30% of this country is in some sort of right-wing religious cult called the Republican Party. And Bush could peel off his head and reveal to him that he's a sleestack on live TV, and they wouldn't bat an eyelash. So forget them. Ask yourself what would happen if the situation were reversed. you know what would happen. The Republicans would filibuster every damn bill on the planet. They would spend every waking hour trying to get President Hillary or Kerry or Al Gore impeached. They would. It's the end of the story. And that is why they win. Punching bags don't win elections. Okay? You know, it's hard to have the zeal of a cult when you aren't actually in a cult. But you at least have to get up off of the mat. And anywhere, you know, sometimes you wonder if anybody cares if the Dems take the House back. They'll be too afraid to do anything. Suddenly they'll let's suppose they do take the House back. You know what you're going to hear? And I hate bashing my party today, but I'm kind of pissed off about it. You know what you're going to hear if they take the House back? We're going to hear from Nancy Pelosi and the leaders of the party. Well, you know, we don't want to rock the boat. Because 2008 is just around the corner, you know. Let's not rock the boat. Let's not bring up this impeachment stuff, you know. You know, that's what's going to happen. And you know, those 30%, those religious wackos that is the Republican Party, they're a lost cause. So forget them. There's another 30% or so. I always figured. Another 30% or so who just kind of slumber through life. We talk about them regularly on the program. They just slumber through life. They cast their vote based on whatever talking points penetrated their thick noggins. I know these folks. I work with them. And reaching them is where we succeed or fail. So how do the Democrats do that? They go on national TV and they say, "This country will legalize torture over my dead body. And anyone who tries to legalize it should be tried for war crimes. Anybody who supports torture doesn't understand what this country is all about. And if you don't like it, move to North Korea or Cuba." That's what the Democrats should be saying. That's what they need to be saying. That's for starters. And then filibuster if they have to. It's not that hard. Do they not understand that Bush is unpopular? This tiptoeing around these issues by the Democrats, it just blows my mind. How many times do we have to hear that the Democrats should duck and cover in order to be called soft on terrorism or abortion or activist judges and all the crap they pull? You know, that they should play along with everybody to secure victory at some imaginary point down the road that doesn't exist. How many times have we heard that since this Congress began? Oh, don't block Alito. They'll call us names. Don't vote against the war in Iraq. We'll lose the next election. When are these idiots going to wake up? You lose elections because you have no spines. You'll be attacked by the right no matter what you do. Have you figured that out yet? It's as if the Democrats calculate every move on how it will play to the Fox News crowd. Here's a hint, guys and gals. You can't win those people over. Ever. Period. So stop trying. You know, and Howard Dean, I love Howard Dean, but he's out there talking about the war on American families in the Wall Street Journal. Did he not notice that Kerry lost with this strategy? Sometimes we lose because we just deserve to lose. You know, the Democrats might think if they let this pass, that they're guaranteed to pick up more seats in the House and Senate. But there's another way to look at it. Will they actually win less seats this way? Because they will have proved to the American people that they're spineless and opportunistic. That when faced with a genuine choice and a genuine challenge, they can keep neither our country nor our values safe. This current bill have passed, and I understand that it is now, will give the executive far more dictatorial powers to detain, to prosecute, to judge, and punish than it's ever enjoyed before. And look who it's in the hands of. The most dangerous man to ever occupy the Oval Office, and the most dangerous law dropped right in his lap. If this isn't fire and gasoline coming together, I don't know whatever has in politics. Think about this. If this law would have been passed with Roosevelt, if it had been passed with Harry Truman, with Eisenhower, with John Kennedy, with LBJ, with Nixon, with Jerry Ford, with Carter, with Reagan, with Bush 1, with Clinton, would we sit here and be worried, this worried about it? Yeah, we wouldn't like it. We wouldn't like it. But my God, look who this law is being passed for. The most dangerous man to ever be in the Oval Office. I don't know about you, but it scares the hell out of me. That this dolt, this idiot, this imbecile has now got more power in his hands than any person has ever had on this planet. Think about that. George W. Bush is the most powerful man at this moment in the history of this country. In the history of the world, George Bush. That frightens me. The Democrats did not stand up to the president on this bill. They refused to filibuster it. They didn't even threaten to filibuster it. I sometimes wonder if our Democrats deserve to win any new seats in the House or the Senate. They did not stand up for our system of checks and balances. Where was the outrage? Oh, yes, we heard a few good speeches by a few good men and women. But where was the collective outrage of the Democratic Party over this? I did not see it. You know, I think by not protecting our system of checks and balances, I think we've stained America's reputation around this world. I think we've allowed an obscenity to disfigure the American system of law and justice. Because when you think about it, and when you boil it all down to the bottom, far worse than some misguided zealot is the moral coward who says nothing and allows that zealotry to do the real harm. I can't think of the great quote right now. It was by Martin Luther King about keeping quiet. Those are the ones. Zealots throughout history and all sorts of evil men have tried to do their evil bidding. And all too often, people let them get away with it. You know, Adolf Hitler could have been stopped. He could have been stopped in his tracks if only the people had stood up against him when he first got started. But there were too many people that just didn't give a damn. They just didn't care. Little by little, he took their rights away from them. Little by little by little. And today, one of the saddest days in American history, without question. And all the right-wing talkers are on the air today saying, oh, these liberals, they're just, worried about something, crying wolf that the sky is falling and all that. When you mess with the Constitution of the United States, when you take away people's rights, you bet your ass the sky is falling. It's fallen on us right now. And far too people have realized it as of yet. I'm so disappointed And I'm sorry, the show, I'm not sorry. I felt like it, so I said it. The show's been a downer today, and we've been negative all day today. But how else can you feel? How else can you feel? I see them talking on the chat room about Ann Wright. We had her on the program not long ago. She said the Bush administration's violation of international law has severely damaged the reputation of the United States throughout the world. She is so right. She is so absolutely right. Well, it's that time again. Don't know where the time has gone today. It was passed on very, very quickly today. We're so grateful to have had all of you listening today. We're always grateful for that. I do want to remind you that this is a listener-supported program. Also want to remind you that Bruce Birch is coming up right after this show from 5 to 7. I'm sure Bruce has got plenty to say, and I know Bob does as well. Bob Kincaid coming up at 7 till 10. So stay tuned for both of those great shows on America's very best liberal network, Head On Radio Network. And I believe that with my heart and soul, and you know I wouldn't say it if I didn't. I want to thank you for being here. Stay tuned for the rest of the evening. And we'll see you again. We'll have a replay on Monday, another live show on Tuesday. And thank you for listening to the Guy James Show. And as always, you've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. Have a good one, gang.